We're talking this morning through my froggy throat about communication trends. We want to know what's your preferred method of interpersonal communication and why.
I prefer to text.
Well, Mike from Wayne, New Jersey says it depends on who he's talking to.
I find that I adjust my communication technique depending on the other person's tendencies. Like if somebody has a tendency to use more text, then I'll text them. If they really prefer to speak on the phone, I'll call them.
I think that when you have froggy voice, instead of doing radio, I should just text you. So if you guys all send me your mobile number, I promise I'll text you.
The text away.
Ah, I love it. So tell us your mode of communication. Phone, face-to-face, whatever. 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.
In my surveys, the vast majority of the high schoolers did not feel that they were addicted or obsessed at all. But when asked if they felt that others could be addicted or obsessed, the vast majority felt yes.
That's Dr. Martin Jaffe, a pediatrician in Green Bay, California. What do you think he's talking about? Alcohol, weed, cigarettes? He's talking about the addictive teen behavior of texting. This morning, we're joined by a San Francisco-based author and journalist, Katie Hafner, who has a piece in today's New York Science Times about the repercussions of teens sending as many as 24,000 texts each month. Katie joins us very early morning her time from San Francisco, California. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Farai.
Okay, I think my fingers would fall off if I texted 24,000 times in 1 month. I mean, how's that even possible?
You know, it's amazing if you do the math. You're talking about the girl in the story, the 13-year-old who got up to 24,000. I guess if we give her 8 hours of sleep and you do the math, what is that? Maybe a text a minute while she's awake?
Yeah.
Every couple of minutes. I mean, and also the amazing thing is that they text, they're having multiple conversations at the same time. And so they're keeping track of all these different conversations. It's actually really taxing on your brain.
Well, you know, one of the things I was fascinated about was, you know, some of the sneak techniques that kids have in school, like texting behind their back. That sounds like a parlor trick. I mean, how can you even do that?
Well, that's the funny thing is, you know, you talk to these kids and you think they're not going to tell you how they do this, but of course they're really kind of proud of it. So one of the kids I talked to, in fact, several of them were telling me about how they do it in class. We're talking about in classrooms where it's really, you know, cell phone uses forbidden. So texting is, of course, forbidden.
Forbidden, right, yeah.
Right, exactly. I know. Yeah. I know.
And it's invitation really to text.
Right, exactly. Teacher standing there, go ahead and text. And so kids text. They pretend they're getting something out of their backpack. In fact, my daughter said that she's 15. She said, yeah, that's one of my favorite things to do. I do it all the time. And then they do it that, you know, if you have a certain kind of keyboard, this one girl who had an LG phone, you know, you can feel your way through this really, and she could type as fast on that tiny little keyboard where you have to, you know, you have to go through all the permutations on each tiny little button to get to the right letter. She could do that as fast as she could type on a regular keyboard without looking. How's that for a skill?
That's great.
I think she probably has no cartilage left in her knuckles. Really, when we talk about this, I mean, it's one thing to communicate. It's another thing to obsess. What does it mean if students in particular are obsessively communicating?
Well, you know, this is part of the story that, you know, part of the story is funny and part of the story isn't. And the part that isn't is the part that kind of strikes at the heart of adolescence and, you know, what it means to be an adolescent. And Sherry Turkle at MIT was one of the people I talked to, and she's actually been studying texting teens in the Boston area for 3 years. And she said she's an expert in adolescent development, and she said, you know, when you're an adolescent, you have two jobs. Basically, one is to separate from your parents, and the other is to figure out who you are going to be. And if you're texting obsessively all the time, there's no way that you can really do either of those jobs because you're constantly texting with your parents. You know, that texting has really blown this whole separation thing out of the water because think of how much kids text with their parents. And that doesn't mean it's a bad thing, but it just means that how one is as an adolescent is changing thanks to this kind of unlikely device in now.
But is it any different than the phone? I mean, in some ways, there's a kind of evolutionary biology way of looking at this, that you're talking about humans interacting with machines and that, you know, adolescence is where you would see the real differences early.
You know, I think that's really true. But if you think the phone is much more of a, you know, it doesn't ring every minute and interrupt you every single minute, and that's what this texting does. And also, what's true about the phone, and when I was reporting the story, you know, people who are our age would say, oh, yeah, I was on my princess phone, well, the women, talking to all my friends after school and for many hours, and that is all sort of part of the process. But if you've got this thing constantly at your side, constantly vibrating, and you're constantly anxious, you know, another part of it is that it's given rise to some new anxieties or heightened anxieties among teens because there's so much pressure to stay in the loop. And so the phone, which some of these people are kids are sort of sleeping with now because they're so worried they're going to miss a text. So it's not that different, but it's at a completely new level. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, Katie, I am still old school. I will do it, but not that often. Katie Hafner, journalist and author based in San Francisco. Thanks. I'll text you.